We've got our first taste of college basketball, and one thing has been true so far. Gonzaga looks really good, and it's their veteran presence. It's the team that we expected to probably be this great. We thought they were disrespected at the beginning of the season. Now they're starting to get a little bit of hype. Andy Patton of Locked On Zags joins me with this conversation, and I have a feeling you're going to agree with me, but Gonzaga looks like a team that can get right back into getting back to their streak and getting into the Sweet 16 and maybe even beyond.
Yeah, they've looked absolutely phenomenal so far. And you know, so many teams play, you know, their first three or four games. You're not seeing a lot of competitive games, and that has not been the case for Gonzaga. I mean, they've played three power conference opponents, three teams that are currently inside the top 90 at KenPom, a team that was ranked in Creighton when they played that game, and have won every single game by double digits, handed a, you know, admittedly not very good team in Southern Utah, but they handed them a 72-point margin of victory on Monday. Like, this team has just been flat out dominant in the games they've played against inferior opponents. And frankly, they have been dominant against the teams that they have played at the power conference level as well. Their defense has been phenomenal, and it has been a joy to watch them and how good they have looked in the early part of the season.
I saw somewhere that Southern Utah victory, that large margin of victory, was something historic. Was that a program record?
It was a program record for Gonzaga against a Division I opponent. It was also the one short of being tied for the most points Gonzaga has ever scored at the McCarthy Athletic Center. Granted, the record, which was 123 points, was against an NAIA opponent. So this is the most points Gonzaga has scored at home and likely overall against a D1 opponent. Yeah, it was just an absolute demolition from start to finish.
Yeah, they got a little bit of a test on the road against Arizona State as well, like going there and getting some sort of away games. You don't really see a lot of top 25 teams go on the road and actually do that early in the season. And they did that. They took care of business. You mentioned Creighton. I thought they took care of business big time against Oklahoma. This team just looks like it has what it takes to make a deep run in the season. And I know it's early. I know we're talking in the end of November here. But when you watch this team, I see just a few teams that you can put on that category. And Gonzaga is easily one that goes on one of the fingers, Andy.
Yeah, I think they're it's hard for me to think they're anything other than a top six or seven, like eighth best team at worst. And that's from somebody who watches a lot of high-level college basketball and has watched a lot of these teams. And I think for Gonzaga, they're so known for being a great offensive team, but the narrative around them is like, oh, when their shots aren't falling, you know, they can struggle or they can be receptive to losses in that way. And that has been true, but this team has such a good defensive presence. They turn you over so often. They have so much length and versatility and experience. I mean, it's one of the oldest teams in college basketball, and it feels like this team is not in a position where off nights offensively, games where Graham Ike can't find the bottom of the net, games where the three-point shooting is non-existent, which quite frankly, the three-point shooting has been pretty much non-existent all season, and they have not played a game within single digits because of how good their defense is. And that makes them more bulletproof in my mind in terms of avoiding those ugly losses, avoiding getting tripped up, you know, in the second round of the NCAA tournament or potentially even in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament to a lower seeded team just because you have an off night. Like, Gonzaga's kind of built a roster that I think makes them less impervious to those kinds of struggles, which should, in theory, lead to a longer run in March.
Yep, the three-point shooting this year only at 34%. Definitely would like to see that get improved at some point. You mentioned EK, and he has been so impressive, averaging 17 points, 9 rebounds a game, almost a double-double. I mean, super impressive what we see from him, and Huff is right behind him. The big guys on this roster are so exciting, and to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why I think they're an X factor, but there's other players on this roster that are truly stepping up as well.
Yeah, it's really balanced attack, you know, and I think that Graham Ike is obviously the star. He's likely going to be the leading scorer this year. He already is up to this point. But what makes Gonzaga so dynamic is that those bigs can really pass the ball too. And Porter Moser talked about this after the Oklahoma game, and Greg McDermott talked about this after the Creighton game of like, it's like everybody thinks it's so easy. I'll just double the bigs, double them every single time they get the ball. But you can't because they're such good passers. And now with Graham Ike and Braden Huff both being able to step out, I mean, EK made 4 threes in that game against Creighton, 3 of them in the first 4 minutes of the game. Like, if those guys can shoot threes and they can make passes to each other and to everybody else out on the perimeter, they just become a nearly impossible team to stop, because we've seen even high level programs, if they try to play Graham or Braden in single coverage, those guys just score over their shoulder pretty much 60-something percent of the time. But if you double them, they're kicking it out. They're finding somebody open. If they get the ball to Tyron Grant Foster, he's an incredible slasher. He's either getting two at the bucket or he's getting fouled or both. And if you get it out to Steele Venters or Adam Miller, those guys are 40-plus percent three-point shooters historically. It just makes this team so difficult to stop because they're not – focused entirely on one player, but they force the defense to have to guard everybody. And there's a lot of guys on this team that just cannot be guarded in single coverage.
Yeah, and that's such the exciting part about it. You just never know exactly how they're going to attack you, and they find a way to do it differently every single time. We've seen that happen in all five games so far this season. At least that's how I'm taking it so far this year. You get a little bit of a breather, Andy. You get to finally relax this weekend, and I know you're going to probably be still glued to the TV watching good college basketball. But in the eyes of Gonzaga, you got a big tournament coming up on Monday. You start off with Alabama. You play Maryland the next day, and then there's the possibility for an even huger, bigger game right after that to finish the tournament. What's your thoughts on this tournament, especially starting off with the game against right now 11th ranked Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama is certainly going to be higher by the time that game rolls around after their win over Illinois on Wednesday. They're going to be probably 6-7, maybe even in the top five. We'll see how some other teams do this weekend. But this is going to be a really high-level matchup. And these two teams have played each other a handful of times in the last half decade or so. They had a home-and-home series that Gonzaga lost the game in Seattle and then won the game in Birmingham. So a pseudo home and home series, I should say. But two really high octane offenses, high level scoring. I mean, the Illinois Alabama game was what, like 90-86 or something like that. This score is going to be similar to that. It's a first to 90 type situation. I feel more confident about Gonzaga than I have in the past in this matchup because I think that they have they match up well with Alabama in the sense that they have a lot of length that they can put on opposing guards. They have players like Jalen Worley, who's 6'7", or Emmanuel Nchente, who's 6'5". And they have been used against the opposing team's point guards already throughout the season. Worley was guarding 5'11" Mo Odom at Arizona State and 6'2" guard Blake Harper at Creighton. And so I have no doubt that Worley's going to get the task of guarding LeBaron Filon and potentially Houston Millett or Aiden Holloway or Latrell Wrightsell or any of those phenomenal guards for Alabama, whereas I think Alabama's weakest spot is the front court, and their front court defense in particular is, it's not even that it's bad. I mean, we're talking about a top five team. They don't have a ton of weaknesses, but it is their weakest spot, and it is one of Gonzaga's greatest advantages. So I think that Gonzaga lines up better against Alabama than a lot of high-profile teams do, but there's no chance that this is going to be an easy game for Gonzaga because that Alabama team can really, really score and has played very well so far this year.
It seems like a game you must watch if you're a college basketball fan. I think this entire tournament has multiple games that can happen in that case. I mean, there's a possibility that Gonzaga starts this tournament, with a showcase game against Alabama. And if they do well with all the other teams in the tournament, they could end up playing one of maybe the greatest games matchups in the season for college basketball. And I know I'm talking with Gonzaga and possibly St. John's, Andy.
Yeah, St. John's, I mean, obviously Houston, Tennessee, Baylor, like there's a ton of great games that could happen, but St. John's would be so much fun. I mean, just from an offensive perspective, both these teams, really, really great scoring teams. St. John's scored like 96 in that game against Alabama, actually, but they lost that one. But this would be a really fun matchup. St. John's backcourt, a little questionable at this point. I think Gonzaga has a bit of an advantage there, but certainly Mark Few and Rick Pitino, they haven't gotten to match up as much as I think they should have in their careers. And I think they would say the same for what it's worth. I think they would love to square off more often, but this would be an absolute blast of a game. Probably my favorite potential matchup. I mean, narratively, a rematch with Houston would certainly be fun as Houston knocked off Gonzaga in the round of 32 last year. Playing Houston is not particularly fun, so that might be a bit more of a stressful game. But obviously, you know, for Houston, they also have a star freshman, Isaiah Harwell, who was long thought to be going to Gonzaga before he changed course and went to Houston. So there's a lot of narratives that'd be fun in that game. But my goodness, if Gonzaga goes 2-0, they're going to play somebody phenomenal in that third game, and it's going to be an absolute blast, regardless of who it is.
Yeah, before Thanksgiving, we're going to have a true idea of what a ton of these top teams in college basketball are all about, Gonzaga being one of them, especially what happens in this tournament starting Monday. Before I let you go, Andy, of course, host of Locked On Zags. You can always find his work anywhere. Locked On Zags, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Really appreciate your time here today. You mentioned three-point shooting is something that was a struggle with Gonzaga so far this season. Not many things have been a struggle, but that's just one thing that's not falling. If you had to pick anything else for them to be a little bit more successful this upcoming tournament, what would it be?
Rim protection, I guess. It's just not something that this roster really has. Like, I don't have a lot of hopes that they're going to get better at rim protection because Graham Ike has been in college for 6 years and Braden Huff has been in college for technically 4 years because he redshirted. And they're just not rim protectors. Like, that's not who they are. That's not who they're going to be. And Gonzaga has kind of masked that by playing really good perimeter defense and putting relentless amounts of pressure on the ball handlers. Their effective thought is, well, we don't need rim pressure if we don't let the guard get to the rim, which is a strategy that will work a lot of the time, but it will not work every time. And for Gonzaga, they do have one rim protector on the roster. His name's Ismaila Diani. He's their kind of second, third string center. He doesn't play very much. He is more likely to commit a foul than block a shot at this point just because of his age. But that would be something that I think could trip them up against teams that are capable of getting to the rim. And honestly, that's why I'm so intrigued by this Alabama matchup, because that is something they are very good. They're a great three-point shooting team and a high-volume three-point shooting team. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama be more intentional about attacking the basket and the rim specifically, because they know that that's not an area that Gonzaga is going to have a lot of shot erasers down there.
Oh, Gonzaga's hoping the Aces are wild in Vegas this weekend. Well, at least coming up on Monday with the Players Era Festival starting on Monday. They take on Alabama. Again, 11th ranked at the moment. You know that's going to be a lot higher. That game's a late one. 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Pacific. It's on TNT. Definitely check it out if you're a college basketball fan. Andy, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.